Jay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
This is shocking.
Okay.
All three of us are here.
We are.
Gang is back together.
Now, I've always been here between the two of you.
Welcome back, Cotter. Was that a TV show in the 70s?
Yes, Welcome Back, Cotter.
What was the show about? Like, I know the name, but what was the premise? He was like a handyman or something?
No, knucklehead. Welcome Back, Cotter was a school. And Gabe Kaplan, a comedian, played Cotter. And it was the Sweat Hogs, so it was kind of like the derelicts of school. And you do know who the main derelict was, right?
No.
John Travolta.
Oh, really? Oh, no, Cali guy?
Vinny Barbarino. That was his name, Vinny Barbarino. There was something, I can't remember his first name, something Boom Boom Washington. Did you ever see Welcome Back, Cotter?
No.
It was way before your time.
Yeah.
I can't remember his first name. And they're like, what's the boom boom stand for? You like to pretend playing the bass boom, 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 boom. But so, yeah, it was that's where Horseshack's from.
Horseshack. And we just had the Kentucky Derby, which has a lot of ties to Ocala and John Travolta's fly in, fly out compound up there.
What does that have to do with Welcome Back, Cotter?
Well, you said John Travolta and Ocala. Always is connected to the Kentucky Derby. They have a ton of horse ranches and up there. It's like $1 billion, like, what do they call it? Equestrian
yeah.
Facilities. And, you know, Travolta has his fly-in mansion up there.
Matt, I heard you requested a trade last week and you got declined.
A trade?
Yeah.
What was I trading?
You're trying to trade, get trades to a different radio show. Like Baker.
Well, I have a lot of talent. I have a lot of options. You know, Caleb, like sometimes you go and try out for other teams in the off season. So, you know, you never know where you're going to land. You just got to always be ready.
Not only will I show him the door, not only will I open the door for him, I will call Steve Linnae and let him be driven to wherever he wants to
go. But be safe. I turned it down. They ended up giving it to Brady. It was Fox, and it was $375 million. I said,
man, what a deal that is, though.
I said, I'm not giving you 10 gosh, years. 10 years amazing. Of my life? Are you crazy?
Almost $40 million. Now, again, let's be honest. It's $37.5 million for what? 4 months' work?
Yeah.
Now, hold on a second. It is more than 4 months' work because prep. And,
for sure.
You know, so you're sitting in
and I'm sure you see him on, he's be on these talk shows and like the debate shows. I'm sure he'll be on those too. But amazing, though. He told Tony Romo, hold my jockstrap.
Yeah. Doubled it. Like, yeah. Romo and Collinsworth. Together don't make that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Good for him.
I'm really
amazing. I can't wait.
Me neither.
You know, I hope it's not anytime soon.
Probably won't be.
But I can't wait because he's entertaining. You know, he laughs at himself. You know, he doesn't take himself seriously. I think he knows the game.
I have a not-so-hot take. I believe Brady's going to play this last year in Tampa. Whatever happens, he's going to go to one more team and try and get three teams, different teams of championship ring.
You think so?
I do.
Just because of it's a notch on his belt?
I do. I say Miami or Dallas.
Really?
I say Miami or
Dallas. I can see Miami because he has a house there.
Well, the Miami rumor, that's where he wanted to go.
Yeah,
and trade.
But I also think I think Sean Payton, where Sean Payton goes, we need to pay attention to because I think Brady might be his last stop.
Oh, you think so?
I do.
Do you?
I've heard through the grapevines.
Do you think, though, that tarnishes? You know, it's kind of like, you know, Charles Barkley and Karl Malone and all those guys that chase the ring, which I'm okay with, but I'm saying he's now going to do it twice.
So I see it differently because those guys were chasing a ring. he is the ring. So it's like LeBron, when LeBron goes to a new team, that team needs a ring, and they bring him in.
All right, so real quick before we go to the phone lines, I think Adam Hunter was the one that the comedian Adam Hunter said that when Cowboy Cerrone, you know, whatever happened last week and he wasn't going to be able to fight, that they put a quick phone call in, you know, for a replacement.
Yeah.
The replacement is on the line.
Okay.
Angela Hill. Angela, how are you?
Hey, feeling good. Unfortunately, I didn't get that matchup, but I got one this week, so I'm happy.
Did you see that the tweet, though, that said that?
Yeah, no, it was pretty funny.
Welcome back. You've been on this program a few times. How are you doing? How's everything?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling pretty energetic. My weight's good. I'm just ready to get this thing going, you know?
What is fight week like? I'm sure I asked you this a couple months ago when you were on. Is everyone the same, or location, opponent, all of that? Does that play into it?
Location definitely makes it a little different, especially since we've been doing the COVID shows. To this fight week, it's UFC Vegas, and we're always in the same hotel. It just feels very familiar, kind of like Groundhog Day. Like, I've been in this hotel a lot in the last 2 years, but when you're in a different location, things are a little less familiar. The whole process is the same, though, like getting your photos taken, giving the side eye to your opponent when you walk past them in the lobby, all that good stuff is very familiar at this point.
Other than the obvious, you know, large arena, you know, smaller arena when it's at the Apex, what is the difference? What other than that is a difference in fighting at the Apex compared to, you know, the no fans or the less fans such at the big arena?
I think it feels more like, I don't know, like you're teleworking. I guess it feels like that. It's a fight. It still feels like a fight when you're in there, but walking to the arena and not seeing the fans screaming your name, not seeing the big TV screen up there. What do you call it? The big arena TV screen that they have with, right, like your stats and everything. It makes it a little less grand feeling. But once you get in there, the fight feels exactly the same, because in a big arena, you block all that out anyway. So if anything, the Apex makes it easier to block out all the outside noise and just get straight into being focused on the person in front of you.
Only because I'm curious, which has a longer walk? Is it a longer walk at the Apex or in a big arena?
I don't know. I think in a big arena, like, it's physically longer, but mentally, just there's so much stimulation that you don't even remember going from the curtains opening to getting in the cage. It's just like a lot going on. So if anything, the Apex actually does feel like a longer walk, just because it's so quiet.
Right.
There's nothing to look at. There's nothing to focus on. You just walk up there, you get in. It's like doing something without music on. It just feels a little bit longer. It's the same kind of feeling.
Angela, I was doing some digging, and I found out that your nickname is Overkill, and that's one of the better – we love talking about MMA nicknames here. How did you get that nickname?
It was partly because of my work ethic in the gym, partly because it rhymed with Hill. But Overkill, I was always the one going the hardest on the bag in my Muay Thai gym. That's what I started with, was Muay Thai. And I was always the one trying to, you know, spar the biggest guy, clinch the biggest person, do the most pad work, do the most bag work. I never took my foot off the gas pedal. So that's why they started calling me Overkill, especially after my first few fights, because that's basically what I did. I just steamrolled the girls that I was fighting, even the ones more experienced than me. So, yeah, I just had that go switch, and I didn't stop.
See, Angie, Caleb plays in the NFL. Used to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and when I cover the Bucs, and I still do, all I'm in there talking to all the NFL guys is what, Caleb?
MMA.
MMA. I'm not talking NFL. So I'm trying to bring more of, you know, more people, more fans, more over. So now we have an NFL guy co-hosting talking MMA. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Thanks for enduring that. No, it's not. It's not for everyone. It's not a sport for everyone, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Well, it's a whole lot easier to do now than when I first started at, let's say, I don't know, UFC 1. You know, as I'm in the locker rooms with the guys and I'm like, no, you got to watch this stuff. It's so cool. They're like, yeah, get back to me. Get back to me. Now the guys are like calling saying, hey, the UFC's in my hometown. Hook me up.
Nice. Yeah, the more celebrities, the more, I always call it real professional athletes because yeah. I feel like what we do is still kind of taboo and still something that people aren't really accustomed to. But the more real athletes that get into it, the more celebrities that get into it, I feel like we're going to become more and more mainstream every year. And it's growing pretty fast. But I've never been into real sports. I've never followed football basketball or baseball or anything like that. So when I did start getting into MMA, it actually surprised me because I've never been into sports at all. I guess I just like watching fights. I was into World Star, watching the World Star videos and not really sports.
So we need to bring Angie to one of your games.
For sure. Maybe because I love UFC MMA so much now. I think right now you guys are the top athletes in the world, to be honest with you, because you combine your athleticism with real life and death scenarios. You know, you see a knockout like we did this weekend, like that's a dangerous thing that you do, and you combine all the stuff we use to play games, and you guys are really out there, you know, using hands and feet and shins. And so like I think you should give yourself more credit because you guys are awesome.
Thanks man. Well, I always feel like sports are just big metaphors for fighting, like metaphors for battle. Like you have mm-hmm. two football teams against each other. It's like, you know, two opposing sides of a war field coming together in the most brutal way. So, yeah, I feel like MMA is even a little safer than something like football just because it's not only about crashing into each other. So I feel like yeah. the whole getting punched in the head thing, you can avoid it a little more than you can if you're a football player. Like, imagine being a football player and never getting tackled, you know, but you can be an MMA fighter and never get knocked out. So, what you do is pretty amazing, too. And you see a lot of athletes crossing over to MMA from football. So, I mean, what you think about that? Is that going to be something you try out one
day? You know, I have a lot of guys that I play with. One of my best friends, Kenny, always talks about it. He's a pretty good fighter, but he always talks about going over. And I'm like, man, it's a different thing. For me, it's like you guys start that when you're so young and you're trained in fighting. And to just jump into it, I'm like, I think guys should do it if you're passionate about it, but go in with caution because it's not the same thing.
Yeah, don't go in with any big plans. Just do it for fun.
Exactly.
How about Angela showing not only her MMA background, but her media and interview background
as
well?
She's switching up on me. I love it.
That is definitely awesome. And I'm going to throw out one real quick. I have a friend of mine, Tyrone Booz. He was the WBO cruiserweight champ, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And he used to always say, I can fight MMA. I can fight MMA. I'm from the streets of Hartford, Connecticut. Uh-huh. I can fight MMA. Until he started training, and he goes, I can't fight MMA. This is not for me.
That's funny. Yeah, it's a lot of times if you're like a really good striker and you've never done MMA, you're like, oh, man, I'll knock all those people out. If you're a really good grappler, you're like, oh, man, I'll take them all down. And then you start doing it and you realize, oh, if I take them down, I'm going to get submitted. Or, oh, taking down someone trying to knee you in the face is a lot harder than that. And I kind of had that experience going into MMA, too, where I was 16-0 in Muay Thai, which is kickboxing for people who don't know. And I was 16-0. And when I saw the striking in MMA, I was like, man, I can knock all these girls out. And then my second MMA fight, I got taken down immediately. And I was like, no! You know, so there's a lot of extra chaos that happens that you don't always pick up on when you're just looking at it as a specialist. And that's something that I've just been working on my entire career. But this fight, I'm fighting a grappler, and I really feel like I'm going to be able to showcase that I'm not just a striker anymore. I'm an MMA fighter, and I could do all the stuff, all the things above.
So Angela, my question is more, you know, I'll be honest. I don't even look at the fight cards anymore. I just assume you're already on it. you know, and my question is, look, I'm an entrepreneur. I have, you know, I know there are certain people I ask them to do something. They're always going to say yes. They're always like, you know, and every company has yes people. Is that a relationship you have with the UFC where they know you're always going to be ready and in shape and willing to take any fight that they give you? Or is that you banging on the door saying, give me every opportunity. I want to fight, you know, 36 times this year.
You don't think she would have been there to take on Joe Lauzon last Saturday? Come on.
But how's that relationship work for you? Because I know some guys don't fight, you know, once every 2 years. Or, you know, it's like they can never get a fight. But then, you know, someone like you is there frequently and often.
Yeah, well, I do always say yes. And I'm always ready to thing with me. And not every athlete, especially in MMA, is like that. Like, a lot of people treat it like seasons where they know they're about to get a fight booked, so then they start training. But for me, I'm in the gym every day. You know, it's my job. I feel like it's my 9-to-5. So even when I don't have a fight camp or a fight booked, I'm training, I'm staying in shape. After a fight, usually doesn't take me that long to get back in there, especially if I don't have any dings or bruises. So, yeah, I just love it. You know, I love the sport, and I'm always eager to keep learning. And a byproduct of learning is being in shape and staying in shape. So whenever they call me, I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this. I could do this. And I like making money, man. Like, I have a pretty good contract right now. And that's also a product of just showing up a lot of a bunch of fight weeks and fighting through those contracts over and over again. And now I'm, you know, I'm sitting pretty right now. So it's definitely paid off for me, taking all those fights and staying ready, staying active. And it's not like it's a chore. Like, I enjoy training. I enjoy learning. And I enjoy punching people in the face and choking them out. So
you get paid for it. Yeah.
It's a good relationship.
Before I ask your next question, I'm just curious, Caleb, if you got a phone call today, hey, we need you to play in an NFL game in 2 weeks, would you be ready?
No.
All right.
No.
Just curious.
No, I need my offseason to this is process.
Angie, I'm curious what the difference of your mental preparation is, whether it's a fight or whether it's to be on the desk and, you know, do the media stuff that you do. How different is that mentally for you?
It's super different. I try not to watch as much tape when I fight. I watch a little bit, but I don't want to overanalyze what's about to happen. I just want to try to be in the moment when I'm in there. But when I'm doing desk work, I watch a lot of tape. I try to, if it's somebody new, I'll find whatever information I can on them. I'll really dig. I'll go on their Instagram and creep on them. You know, like I do right. A lot. I do a lot of, I guess, field work, or not field work, but a lot of stalking when I get ready for an ESPN show. And I think the pressure feels kind of similar because I just don't want to get anyone's story wrong, because I know how annoying that is to me when I'm listening to something about me and they screw up like so many things, or they're talking about a fight and they're saying I did things that I didn't remember doing. And I don't want to do that to anyone. Like, I want every fighter to feel well represented when I open my mouth and talk about them. So I think there's a little more pressure when it comes to that, just living up to being a good journalist and, you know, representing the fighters in a good way.
You said that you creep on the Instagrams. Is it for trash
talk? It's research, though. I was going to say it's research. It's not stalking.
I'm not
no, I mean, I know what she means. Like, we do it. You know, same as athletes. Like, we do that stuff and see who we're playing and kind of what they're into. Most guys in the NFL and I think the NBA also, when we do that stuff, it's for information and throw a little jabs, you know, during the game. So I was wondering, like, are you a trash talker, or is that just more for just press conferences and stuff?
I'm only a trash talker when they make me talk trash. Like, I'm not going to go after some nice chick who's like being all respectful to me and stuff. But if I have to fight someone who is trying to call me names, trying to talk down on me, then yeah, I'll get some material and have it in my back pocket if they come at me. So I always come prepared, but I only wield my wrath on people who deserve it.
Typically, I don't ask fighters about other fighters. You know, I try to keep it just on your fighting this weekend. But since you're also media, you also have the podcast with Karen, I'm just curious your thoughts, your take on that co-main event Saturday night.
I don't know who it is.
That was the Rose fight.
Oh, last Saturday night.
Yeah.
It was like a really frustrating fight to watch. Like, I can imagine being either one of their corners, and with my track record, everyone knows, like, every time I go to a split decision, I lose. So if I were one of them, I would not be hanging back and, you know, trying to play the game. I'd be trying to make something happen, even if I were to risk getting taken down or were to risk getting counterpunched or knocked out. So yeah, I think people who don't have that experience that I've had of having so many split decisions and so many decisions taken away from you that you felt like you won, I feel like if they had those experiences, then they wouldn't have fought that way. And, you know, the MMA judging is very arbitrary. It's like when you watch gymnastics and the person who everyone thinks should have gotten all 10s gets like 9.5, and everyone's like, what were they looking at? But there's nothing you can do because it's a very arbitrary thing. You can make an argument for just about any person winning a round. So I think that fight was just two girls who knew each other, who bigged each other up in their own heads because of their past, and neither wanted to give up anything, so it stunted them, and they didn't really start fighting until the fourth and fifth round.
With the knowledge, and we all do know, you know, in the MMA world about those split decisions, do you look at who the judges are? Do you worry who the judges are? Do you know who the judges are? That kind of stuff.
Nah, because there's nothing I can really do about it. So it's like worrying about your opponent being on steroids. They probably are if you're worried about it.
Right.
But there's nothing you could do about it if they didn't get popped or if they didn't test positive for your fight. So why even make that something that you think about in your head? Instead, just focus on what you're doing and how you can beat this person. And that's it. And that's how I feel about the judging too. Like, there's nothing I can really do about it. If I try to complain about a certain judge, there isn't really anything they're going to do. They're not going to fire them. You know, they're not going to take their decisions into consideration and bring it up to the Nevada State Athletic Commission or anything like that. So it's a pointless thing to spend energy on mentally.
Sure.
So if anything, I've just every fight that I do, because it's not going to be the same judge screwing me over. Like, it's just something that happens. So every fight that I go into, I'm just like, I got to try to finish it. And if I don't finish it, I have to at least make it very, very obvious that I'm beating this girl up.
You know, just to take it back to the Rose fight again this past weekend, me as an MMA fan and being in media now, every time I watch the women fight, it's always full of action. It's always some of the best fights. They're throwing punches, very, very active. So for you as media and also like as those are your counterparts, was that frustrating to see them kind of just both just sit there kind of waiting for the other person to do something and not give that action and not kind of give that excitement and the fights that the women I really believe are known for? Because you guys have the most exciting fights when you just kind of watch it as a whole.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the competitor in me was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, I'm not afraid to fight those guys, you know? Like,
yeah.
It was frustrating to watch as a fan, but as someone who competes in the same weight class, it was encouraging. It inspired me to keep fighting to become somebody who's a contender, become somebody who can face the champ, because if that's the type of performance they're putting on when the pressure's on, then I can really take advantage of that. So that's all I was thinking when I was watching. I'm like, man, these girls really like made themselves scared of each other, and it's sticking them in place. So, you know, hopefully if I fight them, I get that version of them, and then it's going to be an easy fight. But if not, you know, it's still like everyone's human, and it did show a very human side of those two that maybe we haven't seen as much recently, just because everyone's human, everyone gets nervous, everyone gets overly cautious every now and then, and that's something that I've been trying to fight my entire career, is just not holding back. So it was interesting, if anything, to watch.
That was last Saturday. This Saturday, you get back in the octagon. What can the fans and the media people like Caleb, what can they expect to see Saturday night?
Well, you're not going to see that, because we both come forward. We both swing for the fences. So you're going to see a slugfest on the feet. I feel like she likes to throw heat. So do I. And she's going to try to take me down, but I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the grapple fest as well. So, yeah, it's going to be action-packed.
Good stuff. We can't wait. Angela, thank you very much for your time. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box of really cool socks from Odd Sock Official for coming on.
Ooh, thank you.
We will talk. And these are basically just for you. Where do you see what they are? I mean, you can go to their website if there's certain ones you want, but I think I know which ones you're going to want. So you'll get the box in the next week or two.
Awesome. I'm excited.
get through the week and have fun on Saturday night.
Thanks so much, guys.
Take care. Angela Hill back in it. And, you know, when I saw that tweet, it really was funny that the UFC just called Angie and she's going to take on Joe Lozon.
She's always on the cards.
And it wouldn't surprise
me. Yeah, never surprised.
That's for sure.
I expect her to be there.
All right, let's go hit a quick break a little bit over. When we come back, he's been on before. He was on during the Ultimate Fighter, Andre Petrosky. When we return, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, face demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split End today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
E-Tech e-bikes provides the best in quality, technology, innovation, power, and luxury. Eco-friendly, foldable, and powered by Baofeng Motors, Shimano Brakes, Tesla, and Samsung batteries, E-Tech bikes are ideal for commuting, recreation, mountain, or sport use. Built for optimal power and energy efficiency, E-Tech e-bikes have up to 100-mile range and speeds up to 30 miles per hour. Use our discount code 100OFF today at etechbikes.com. That's E-T-E-K bikes.com.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, where do we start? Do we want to start on Saturday night?
Well, we got to go with the liner coming out of the break. We need Vinny LeCavalier is what we need to start because the Lightning got beat yesterday, down 3-2 to the Canadiens. They had the game 2-0. They were up 2-0 and then just let it slip away.
It's hockey playoffs?
Hockey playoffs.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I wish you wouldn't have said that. But you're harassing.
You're a media guy.
No, hold on. Yeah, you're the media guy who just said the Canadians.
Yeah, but Maple Leafs, sorry.
Yeah, this is a guy who wants to be.
But they're all Canadians to me. They all look the same.
You know, it's so funny. I was covering when they won the first Stanley Cup in whatever year it was. And the media is sitting down there, and I'm talking to this guy who's from Calgary. And he's like, yeah, my wife is so adamant. She wants Calgary to win. And I'm like, why? She goes, because we're Canadian. I go, so are the Lightning. I mean, you know, just because they play here in Tampa, you know, they're all Canadians, 92.6% of them.
Well, I guess the Olympics, they all go and play for someone else. They don't play for the U.S. because there's none of them here.
It's true. That's true. But I want to talk some NBA action, man.
NBA.
NBA's
right. This little thing?
Yeah, NBA's been – the playoffs have been amazing. I think this is the first year there's been a lot of parity in the NBA.
Okay.
There's a lot of different teams, a lot of young teams. You know, the Grizzlies.
A lot of crybabies.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of injuries, a lot of physical play from the Warriors and the Grizzlies. Taking out elbows and stuff?
Yeah, I love it. I love all that stuff. I love the action between. I think they're going a little bit overboard with all the whining and stuff. You know, I think guys are flopping a little bit too much. But, like, I love the intensity of it. I love the, you know, I miss having Kevin Durant and LeBron in there, obviously. But I love the fact that there's new faces. Jason Tatum stepping up. And you have the Celtics doing so good.
And John Morant.
John Morant's playing
that
amazing.
That kid's a monster.
Monster.
He can't guard him. How are you going to – he's changing the game.
He's awesome, man. You know, he reminds me a lot of Derrick Rose. I know people make that comparison a lot. But the NBA playoffs has really excited me. And that's the first time in a long time that I'm tuned into every single game and watching. And so what are your thoughts on that?
I'm not saying that he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Okay? Ja.
Yeah.
Did it look like he really pulled his leg? Now, granted, it wasn't an accident.
No.
You can't grab. No, come on. He grabbed his knee.
He was trying to get the ball.
His ball was near his knee?
Because he swiped at it the first time and hit it, and he tried to go after it again. That's what I saw, at least. I don't think that's a malicious.
I'm not saying that he tried to hurt him. I'm just saying it didn't. He grabbed his knee.
Yeah.
Was it an accident? You know, it's like grabbing a cage.
Yeah.
Is a cage, when you grab the cage, is it an accident?
Yeah.
No, you're doing it on purpose, but it just happened.
Accident or not, that's not how you get a bone bruise. I've had a bone bruise before. I've played with a bone bruise. They're not fun. They hurt a lot. And for his sport with the jumping and stuff, it's not fun. But you don't get a bone bruise by somebody grabbing your knee in that way.
I remember there was a basketball player that missed 6 games because he injured a ligament in his thumb playing Game Boy.
I don't buy that one.
I mean, a thumb is important in the shooting hand.
He played Game Boy long.
I think so. Because the thumb pulls the ball so it doesn't fall out of the way.
Not if you're Rick Barry.
And he only uses 4 fingers?
No, he throws underhand.
Oh, it's like a granny shot?
Yeah, that
Carly
was his.
With a broken finger, so I don't want to hear it. But, I mean, you know, like
I've enjoyed it. You know, I have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed, obviously, the Boston series.
Yep.
You know, I like when it's competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I like when a team that nobody thinks can win comes through and wins.
Yeah, I do. And I don't think you've seen that in basketball in years. It's been the same few guys the same. You kind of, you're seeing the passing of the torch to the younger generation, to the newer stars, to the Devin Bookers and the Jason Tatums. You know, Giannis is still doing his thing. The Warriors are kind of like the last group of old heads kind of hanging in there playing good basketball. And so it's interesting to see what happens. I'm excited for it.
I like when you're calling, you know, low 30s old.
Yeah, it's sports, you know. I'm an old head in the locker room now, you know what I'm saying? And I'm 27, you know, 7 years in. So it's crazy how quick it changes.
What are your thoughts? Have you seen any of the NBA?
I have.
Are
yeah.
you aware of any of the NBA?
I'm aware of the NBA. I like it. I agree with you. It brings some intensity to it. I like it. I mean, I don't think the Grizzlies are going to win tonight. No.
I would like to see traveling called, because when you can take the ball at the top of the key, going the like how I said that top of the key, and go the opposite side and slam and not dribble, there's something wrong.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll play devil's advocate with that. It's similar to how now everything's rough in the passer in the NFL. They want to see more offense. So they're more lenient to those offensive penalties called than they would be in the past because you want to see points being scored.
I understand that, and I'm going to correlate that to when we have the discussion about Charles Oliveira.
Yeah.
You know, about missing by a half a pound.
Yeah.
It's still missing, and we'll discuss all that later. We're not going to do it just yet. But if it's a rule, it's a rule.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want an unwritten rule. I don't want, well, Dr. J doesn't travel, even though he takes 19 steps.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe doesn't travel. Magic doesn't. Well, no, they all travel.
Kobe doesn't travel. I'm just kidding.
It's two hops and a turnaround flip.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a rule, it's a rule. And if it's an unwritten rule, throw it out because I hate those.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's definitely a thing where these sports are going in the way of they want to make more money. And so how do we get more fans? How do we make more money? People don't. And I kind of understand the issue with the hard fouls now because people don't want to see stars miss playoff games. They don't want to see Draymond Green ejected from a playoff game. They don't want to see, I forget the young man's name, his dad played, who got hurt against the Grizzlies. They don't want to see him miss games because those are pivotal moments. You don't want to see John Morant miss a game. So I get why the NBA goes that route and they want to punish those things.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
Okay, because if Green doesn't get kicked out of game whatever it was in Cleveland,
yeah,
LeBron doesn't have, you know, a championship.
I agree.
So they wanted that to happen.
Yeah. Look, well, I mean, yeah.
they were happy with that.
As a fan, you know, you don't want to see those guys. You want to see full-strength teams. Like when Kawhi won his last championship against the Warriors. The Warriors were down Draymond, down Klay, and down KD. It's like, well, you know, like who wants to watch those games anymore? You know what I mean?
I understand.
And so
one of the things I do like to watch, even more than the NBA playoffs,
yeah,
even more than the Stanley Cup playoffs, is the return of the Ultimate Fighter.
Okay.
Have you started watching that yet?
I haven't, but I need to catch up.
You do need to catch up because it is a lot of fun. And every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, we're going to go a little bit early, we get the previous day's winner. Now, again, this has already been filmed. It's just nobody knows. I don't even know until I get the screener on Monday. So I got it on Monday. I watched it last night. And let's welcome to the program in the official Ultimate Fighter segment, Caitlin Neal. Caitlin, how are you?
Hey, how's it going? I'm pretty good myself.
First and foremost, I'm sorry about your loss. I hope you're getting through this as best as you can.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was really rough timing, but I think it made for a good show, you know?
You know, and I don't obviously want to center on it. I lost my dad a couple years ago, and you still never get over it. I'm just curious if it's okay if I ask. I was kind of surprised that they told you, you know, in the middle of the filming. Were you surprised, and were you happy or not happy that they told you?
Yeah, so I actually found out the week I was in quarantine and getting ready for the show and, like, doing medicals. So it was, like, medicals week, so I still had my phone. So my sister called me and told me.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, I guess production didn't really know or have a choice whether or not. But I'm kind of glad that she told me just because I think I probably wouldn't have opened up about that part of my story just because I wouldn't want anything to get back to my dad or, like, embarrass him. So I think it was probably good timing, but so I could talk about it.
I guess I should have known that, being a veteran of watching The Ultimate Fighter and being a veteran of covering the UFC since UFC 1. There was one back when Matt Hughes was coaching, and I still talk about this. They're showing him playing solitaire like 12 seconds after a fight and his fighter lost. And so obviously everybody now hates Matt and Matt this and Matt that. But of course that clip was from 2 weeks earlier that they put in after that. So I should have thought about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. The way they edited it made it seem like it was like that week of the fight, but I think it happened like a week and a half before it. So they made it a bit more recently.
Okay. Where are we in filming? And again, I know that it's all, you know, completed. Just how far into the filming was last night's episode?
I think it was 10 days into the house. Like, we got into the house on Tuesday, and then we fought not the following Thursday, but the Thursday after.
Okay.
Is it like having the cameras there all the time with you guys and going through your whole process? Does it ever get distracting? Does it ever kind of interfere with your process where you're just kind of like, I just want them to be away and kind of just put my nose down on grind? Or do you just kind of not notice it after a while?
You definitely notice the cameras. I don't think there was, you get more comfortable towards the end, but it's definitely awkward having them there the whole time. And you just want to be able to like speak your mind, but then you don't want it to be shown on TV later. And then also, like, you don't really have much privacy. Like, they can come in your room even when you're sleeping. So it's just like no time to like decompress on like off of camera.
We had Hard Knocks my second year with the Bucks, and one thing I noticed is guys act differently on camera than off camera. Did you see any of that? And did that kind of give you any insight to, okay, this person acts this way when the cameras are on, this way when it's off? Does that kind of give you an edge when you're watching people and kind of gauging your opponents?
Oh, yeah. So I'm totally going to throw this person under the bus. So Mo Usman was a complete different person off of camera than on camera. He was, like, so rude, didn't really talk to people, kind of, like, kept to himself or whatever, like, didn't care about anybody else. Like, it kind of seemed like he was too good for the show. But then the second the cameras came on, he was, like, everyone's best friend, like, the star of the show. Like, it was so weird how much his personality flipped when the cameras came on.
Interesting. I happen to be really good friends with Kamaru, so that's, you know, totally different from him and when he was on. But that's cool because he's next up, so, you know, we'll see what happens with him next week. Talk to us about how you found out, where you were when you got the phone call, hey, you're going to be on The Ultimate Fighter. And curious if you've watched previous seasons, and if not, or even if you have, did you go back and watch more just to try to pick up some stuff knowing you were headed there?
Yeah, so I've watched all of the women's seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, and then I watched the latest season because I had a couple of friends. But I basically just watch a lot of reality television, so I didn't go back and watch any of The Ultimate Fighters knowing that I was going to be on it, but I did watch a lot of reality TV, so I knew to kind of, like, mind my P's and Q's and, like, be careful of, like, what I said because it could be edited in a certain way or whatever. But I kind of found out about the call, so I applied back in, I believe it was, like, November, and I didn't know I was on the show, like, for certain until the Friday we went into the house, like the Friday before we went into the house. So I was trying not to get my hopes up too much because I've tried out for The Ultimate Fighter, I think it was like twice now. And so I'm glad that I actually got on this time.
What reality TV shows do you watch?
I watch a lot of just like junk TV, like The Bachelor, Love Island, Love at First Sight, Love is Blind, kind of just like those type of things.
Well, you didn't say the best reality show on TV, and it's garbage, but we watch it faithfully every week. 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah,
come on.
Right there. That's the one I like.
Oh, yeah.
Come
on.
Do you not watch that?
Oh, no, I do. I just,
yeah, that's my favorite one. I don't watch reality TV show much, but if I do, it's 90 Day Fiancé.
Why? Because it's a train wreck?
Oh,
it is a train wreck.
It is a train wreck.
Is just watching for the train wreck?
Yeah, my Nigerian brothers are on there getting it. They're on there scamming their way to some money.
What were you told? What did you think? And what did you do as soon as, you know, the door opens and you're running into the house? Was it the bedroom? Was it the bedroom location? What else is there to worry about seconds into the house?
I just wanted to make sure that I had a room with a private bathroom and a tub, because I heard that some people had like really small bathrooms or whatever. I kind of wasn't really thinking about like room size or anything. I kind of just found like the first bedroom that with a tub and a private bathroom. I wish I kind of would have searched the house a little bit longer, because there was a lot bigger room, but I think the location I was in ended up being pretty nice, just because my side of the house was really quiet and the opposite side of the house was pretty loud, because it was over by the pool table and like all the alcohol and like the card game. So I feel bad because the people on the other side of the house got kept up pretty late every night.
Well, and that's what we were told last week, that's what they wanted, to be as far away from the kitchen, as far away from the noise, you know. So always having a plan, no matter what it is, obviously works out, you know, very well. I'm curious, how much did both coaches know either about you and the other female fighters and male fighters for that matter, you know, going in, and how much did they get to see when it came time to the old schoolyard draft pick?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much knowledge they had of each of the fighters. I know Juliana commentated for my last fight on Combate, so she kind of knew who I was. And then she fought one of my teammates a while back, and she watched one of my amateur fights. So she kind of, like, briefly knew who I was, like, through the fight scene, like, vaguely. And then I knew her coaches pretty well because they came into Syndicate with a couple of her teammates. But then as far as Amanda Nunes goes, I didn't know much about Amanda except for that she's, like, an amazing fighter. But my coach at Syndicate, John Wood, was pretty good friends with the Nuneses. So they heard about me through him, and he told them to pick me, I guess, is what happened.
What were you able to take away from Amanda throughout the whole process? And, you know,
well, like, no, hold on a second. Okay. See, Caleb's a rookie. It's not throughout the whole process. We're only talking up through yesterday's episode. So the first two episodes.
So what have you been able to take away from her
leading up to last night's fight?
And, you know, kind of like, how does she communicate with you? Because we talked about this last week. It's harder for really good athletes to kind of communicate what they do, because it comes so natural, some of those things. So what was she able to communicate with you that stuck, that kind of helped you get better as a fighter?
Yeah, so she basically she has a really good mindset, and she trains hard, she works hard, and I think she expected all of us to train and work as hard as she does. So I think just that work ethic and mentality and like believing in yourself is kind of what I got from her for that first fight.
So as I watched yesterday's screener, the elephant in the room, you know, the opponent, the first pick from the other team, you were a little upset about that. Talk about that, and did that, you know, drive you even more? And I hate saying it that way, because I'm sure you didn't need any more motivation. But, you know, as we watched the show, it seemed like you did take it kind of personally.
Yeah, so I kind of knew Juliana and her coaches, and they all seemed like they really liked me. Like, they were super nice to me, even at like tryouts before that we did. Like, when we went and met Amanda and her coaches, and we went and met Juliana and her coaches. And so they seemed like they really liked me, and they were kind of like rooting for me. And so it's kind of weird that they're like, oh, this is our first pick, we're going to match her up with Kaylin. Like, I don't know. It just kind of, like, rubbed me the wrong way, because I don't know if I, like, felt, like, cheated or, like, lied to, or, like, they were kind of just, like, BSing with me to, like, throw me off or something. But obviously it worked out for the better.
I don't know, obviously, things that they didn't show, but I'm curious if, even if it was more inside than outside, was it kind of like, that's what you get, you know, picking the wrong person, now I just took out your top dog?
Yeah, I was like, be careful what you wish for, whatever. it was kind of like good to kind of, you know, get that win and have that going for me.
Okay, and like I just, you know, made sure Caleb understood, we were only talking up through last night, so I don't know if I even can ask this or should ask this, but I'm going to anyway, and if you can't answer, just tell me what time it is. What is a gulag?
Okay, I talk to Mitch a lot, I hang out with Mitch, and I have, like, no idea what a gulag is yet. I think it's something from a video game, but I'm not 100% sure. It could be something that Mitch made up. He's a very creative person, so I don't know if anybody really knows.
Well, it definitely made it interesting. Talk about real quickly just what the atmosphere was like, you know, during the fight. Obviously, a lot of fights like this weekend are in the Apex, and I'm going to assume that it's similar. Just talk about what the atmosphere was like for you, you know, during that fight that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, so the atmosphere is really cool. Obviously, it's like amazing being able to fight in the Apex. That's like such a cool experience. It's an interesting fight because there is no audience. You can only hear your teammates cheering for you and then your coaches yelling at you. So it's nice because you can hear everything your coaches are saying, but it's also kind of crappy because the other coaches can hear everything your coaches are saying, and so they can kind of corner against what they're saying. In that fight with Helen, Amanda kept yelling for the takedown, and then Juliana said, "Beware for the takedown, Helen." And so it was just like, ugh, crap. Well, how am I supposed to shoot in for a takedown if she's just going to sprawl on me? So that kind of was a little frustrating. But other than that, like, it was just, like, such a cool atmosphere.
You know, and I've talked about over the past 2 years when fights were in the Apex during the COVID, yeah, but pandemic. I combined COVID and pandemic and couldn't get the word out. I enjoyed the fact that we could hear the coaches. We could hear, you know, the fighters talking to the coaches from a different angle. Obviously, it's different for you and the fighters. But, you know, just as a fan in the media, I liked being able to hear that stuff and not sweep the leg and body bag and Ric Flair woo.
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool. Like, I don't mind not fighting with an audience, but it does add that extra little layer in there.
Awesome. Well, Caitlin, thank you very much for your time. It was a great episode to watch. Looking forward to watching the rest of the season. Hopefully we can get you back on. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box of really cool socks from Odd Sock Official for coming on today.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And if by chance, if you find out what a gulag is, you have my number. Text me and let me know.
Okay, I'll text Mitch right now and see what he says.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
That was episode number 2 of The Ultimate Fighter. And next week, Usman fights Mitch.
Yeah.
And at the end, as they got face-to-face, Mitch is like, gulag. Everybody's like, what the hell is a gulag?
Okay, so I played Call of Duty a long time ago. I think what a gulag is like an area in the game that people meet up to fight in. I'm not positive, but I think that's what it is. But I didn't want to say it on there and be wrong, so we'll see. We'll see when she tells you what it is. For
well, why? Matt says stuff and he's wrong all the time.
Yeah,
so.
Me and Matt are a little different personalities.
You don't really have to fact check anything. You just get to say whatever, and then people will write in and tell you how bad you are, like, into the station, and then they'll tell you. So they do the fact checking for you.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. It's all awesome.
Right. All right, so we only have a couple minutes, top of the hour, then scheduled to be on.
Oh, wait. I have a definition for you.
Can I finish first?
The gulag.
Okay, you can tell me in a minute. But coming up after the top of the hour break, scheduled, is John Ondrasik, who is better known as Five for Fighting. And I cannot wait to talk to him about his song. You know, when we had Daughtry on, you know, I said how I don't get moved by songs. And, you know, of the millions and billions of songs, I really don't. The Daughtry song, you know, about Stillborn, Gone Too Soon, and one of John's songs called 100 Years, two totally different reasons, but that's another song that really does mean something and is moving to me, so I can't wait to talk to John. But go ahead. Well, bore me real quick.
Well, the meaning of gulag is a noun, and it's a system of labor camps maintained in the Soviet Union from 1930 to 1955 in which many people died.
At first, I was going to say, what does this have to do with anything? But the died part, there's animosity between these two.
Okay.
Between Mitch and between, you know, Muhammad Usman.
So it's a labor camp where you go to die. Maybe like an octagon. Could be considered a labor camp.
Well, no, it's not.
People could die there. Tony Ferguson almost died there on Saturday.
That was.
I thought he did die. I was like, oh my God, he's not getting up.
It was a face plant. And good ups to Michael Chandler because he went to throw again. You know, and saw that Tony possibly did die.
Yeah. Gulag! Gulag!
You know, people wanted to get mad at him for doing backflips, you know, when Tony was laying there. But it's like, man, it's a fight game. It's a dangerous sport. He got a big win after two tough losses, and he's celebrating. You can't take that away from somebody. Like, you
one backflip, I mean, is acceptable. The third one was excessive.
He did it four.
Oh, he did it four.
He shoved the guy out the way because the guy tried to go move him out the way, and he shoved him out the way and did his fourth one. But again, he's excited. I understand, you know, like, it's a different kind of thing.
Like, what happens in the gulag stays in the gulag.
And it is really, I believe gulag is basically what both of you said. It is from Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And it is something to do with where you go to die.
Yeah.
So you combine the two.
Yeah, there you go.
But you do need to, especially because Matt doesn't, you do need to watch, you know, The Ultimate Fighter.
No, I definitely will. I definitely will. And I did years ago, and I've seen, you know, some of the historic videos with Rampage Jackson ripping open that cardboard
door. The cardboard. I guess he just commented that that's one of his most embarrassing. Of all the things that Quentin has done, that's the thing he's most embarrassed about, you know, ripping the door
off. Some of my favorite interactions is Rampage and Ariel Helwani, and just how every time that he interviewed him, he would just trash him for the first 30 seconds and then move on. It's always just like great banter back and forth.
I went and talked to Quentin. I've known Quentin in an extremely long time. I'll tell you a couple funny stories that I won't tell on the air, off the air. But so we were at the CES, and I went to take a picture for the website. And I went to shake his hand. You know, you like to shake hand to take a picture. He goes, "Stop holding my hand." I don't want to hold your hand. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, I got it. All right, so 1 hour down, pretty good, action-packed. When did you get here, Matt?
I've been here. I'm training camp. I've got to get my shoulder loosened up, ready to throw.
Ben Rothwell coming up, second hour. Five for Fighting coming up after the top of the hour. Some more conversation about Charles Oliveira, and it was only a half a pound. We'll discuss that and a whole lot more. Coming to you live from Tournament the Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stapson. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.